This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. Let's go back now about 40 years. Scientists isolate a new antibiotic. That's nothing new. They've been finding them for years. But this one is found in a soil sample from Easter Island, of all places. So they name it rapamycin after the Polynesian name of the island, Rapa Nui. And what was it doing in the soil? Well, a bacterium in the soil there uses the compound to fend off competing bacteria and fungi. And since its discovery, rapamycin has turned out to be a great help to humans as well. The drug acts as an immunosuppressant. They give it to people who have organ transplants to help the body from rejecting the organ transplants of a donor organ or bone marrow, stuff like that. But a study in the journal Nature this week suggests that rapamycin has another effect, prolonging life in mice, at least. When scientists gave the drug to old mice that, in human terms, would have been eligible for Social Security, the mice had a 28 to 38% increase in lifespan. How did that happen? What does it mean for we human beings? That's what we're going to be talking about for the first part of this hour. Our number 1-800-989-8255. You can tweet us. Our tweet sign is at SciFri, at C-I-F-R-I. Let me introduce my guest. David Harrison is professor at the Jackson Lab. That's a very famous mouse research institute at Bar Harbor, Maine. He joins us by phone. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Harrison.
Thank you.
These were dramatic results. These weren't just maybe results. These were very dramatic results.
We were surprised at how strong the effect was, considering how late it was done. It's important that at this point I point out that this is a big NIH program, not just me,
mm-hmm.
with three co-equal PIs, myself, but also Miller at Michigan and Strong at Texas, and also Nancy Nadone at the NIA. And if I just may say another poop thing about it, for people who have compounds that they think have a good, strong scientific reason for being tested as anti-aging effects in mammals, check out the website that's in the article. We're still collecting compounds. We're still doing tests. So far, we've completed lifespans only on the first set of eight compounds, and rapamycin's been the only one that was really effective. But we hope to find more.
So you're collecting compounds. That's good to know. Let's talk about rapamycin, because it almost was sort of an accident at the time of life of the mice, right?
That's correct. Rapamycin, we were testing because its beneficial effects on lifespan in simpler, shorter-lived organisms, yeast models and also fruit flies and nematodes. But when we started to put it in the mouse food, we found it was destroyed by the pelleting process. And Strong of Texas developed an encapsulation method. Unfortunately, it took about a year to develop it and prove it and make sure everything was working properly. And so the mice, which we intended to start at approximately 8 or 9 months of age, were
pretty old.
20
by
months of age.
20 months.
That's equivalent to about 60 in human terms. And so the question was, should we even bother to use them? Well, you know, we already spent almost all the money on the experiment just getting them to 20 months of age, so we did use them. And it turned out, really, to our gratification, that this is a large effect. The 28%, 38% increases that you gave, that was the increase from 600 days of age.
Hmm.
If you use the most rigorous method, looking at the total lifespans to the maximum lifespan, the age of 90% mortality, when only 10% are alive, then the effects are of course, smaller, because you're looking at the percentage of the whole lifespan, not since 600 days.
Right.
Males, it's 9%. Females, 14%.
Mm-hmm.
But these are still very
sure.
large increases by comparison with what one would expect from curing diseases in people.
Sure. So if this were equivalent to people, a lifespan of 70, you've increased it over 14%. You're talking almost 80 years old.
Yep.
Wow. And this is
it's approximately a 10 year in lifespan for healthy people. And it's a healthy lifespan. It's important to remember these are mice. These mice don't get to go in the hospital and have IV feeding or
right.
any fancy stuff. They basically are humanely euthanized when they become seriously ill. So the mice are living they're alert, they're paying attention to what's going on around them, they're able to stand up and use their strong jaws to chew on those hard pellets to get their food, and they keep themselves reasonably well-groomed.
So let's not jump too quickly to humans then, is what you're saying.
I'm anthropomorphizing and saying the mice are in pretty good shape during the time that they're living. If they get to a condition in a human where they'd have to go into an intensive care or even a nursing home, we would probably humanely euthanize them.
Do we know how it makes them live longer, what it does?
No, that's a very important thing. We know that it rapamycin acts on the TOR pathway, TOR simply meaning target of rapamycin. This is an important, one of many important biochemical pathways in mice and in people, and for that matter, in fruit flies and nematodes and yeast. So in this important pathway, we know what the specific enzyme is that's targeted. And we know that by targeting that enzyme, by reducing the function of that enzyme, protein synthesis is reduced and cell proliferation is reduced. And we also know, because this is used in people, rapamycin is used in people as a drug to prolong organ grafts, to reduce or prevent rejection of organ grafts. We know that it has anti-immune effects. We don't know, however, were those anti-immune effects the reason that they lived longer, or were there other effects? Rapamycin, as I say, it reduces protein synthesis generally. It's important in pathways that have a lot of effects on the different physiological systems. And the next step here is to test which physiological systems being changed that may actually be the key changes that are increasing the lifespan.
Are there enough people who are organ recipients who take this drug that you could get a population and see if they're living longer?
Very good question, and my answer is I don't know. Of course, it's not a population that's healthy. Obviously, they have the organ transplant, so it would take sophisticated medical statisticians and demographers, but I'm hoping that that people who are capable of doing this and have access to the data are looking right now to see if human beings who've been taking rapamycin for other purposes for long periods of time are showing any potential anti-aging benefits, which would be, of course, a reduction in risk of death from a wide range of things other than what's wrong with them.
Well, the thing is, you know, we talk about extending life, and if you cure one disease, then another disease is going to get you.
Exactly.
Is that what is happening here or not happening?
Well, that's a very good point. A characteristic of aging is that vulnerability to most causes of death increase exponentially. That means in people, your chances of dying of a wide variety of things double every 8 or 9 years after age 30. And what seems to be happening here is that we're protecting against a wide variety of different causes of death. Now, how do I know that? It's because we're using mice that die of a wide variety of different causes of death. They're intentionally genetically highly diverse. In that case, maximum lifespan integrates all the different causes of death. So if we increase maximum lifespan, they didn't die of a large variety of these things. We postponed death from a large variety of things. And that's what makes us think we may have in rapamycin a drug which actually retards basic mechanisms of aging.
Wow, that would be something. A fountain of youth in the soil of Easter Island.
It's not exactly the fountain of youth. I mean, 10 years is nice. What we hope is that this is just the foundation of setting up a whole range of different anti-aging treatments that will be synergistic and effective and maintain health. Because really, when you think about it, the human lifespan, you spend the first, 30 years getting started.
Yeah.
After about 30 more years, you begin to decline in health.
Tell me about it. So, you know, the thing is, see, what you're talking about is not fighting disease, heart disease, cancer, things like that. You're increasing just longevity, which fights all those diseases at once, if I hear
exactly right, because all the things that double, all the chronic diseases that double every 8 to 9 years, if you can alter aging, successfully starting aging, you extend the healthy lifespan really much more effectively than success in preventing one disease. There's actually a statistic that in people, if you're protected from all atherosclerosis, which is the common cause, most common cause of death, and all cancers, which is the second most common cause of death in an aging human population, if you prevent all those deaths, your average increase in lifespan will only be about 10 years, roughly the same as the effect here of rapamycin alone. And so why is that? Well, it's because that as you get older, your chances of dying of every other problem, diabetes, osteoporosis, organ failures, and any organ, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease and so forth, double every 8 to 9 years. And so the benefit of curing those major things isn't as large as you might expect. On the other hand, success in retarding aging would extend healthy lifespans very effectively because it would retard all the different, or a large subset of specific diseases.
Now, what do you need to do to advance this to the where we might find it helpful to people?
Oh, the first thing is exactly what you suggested. And I hope that's going on now. People need to look and see if there's any strong evidence in human beings already taking the stuff. Second thing is also, I know is going on now, that is in mouse models, to look for what may be the basic mechanisms. I mean, is this stuff, for example, by slowing down cell proliferation? Is it protecting the stem cells against running out of proliferative capacity? By reducing immune response, is it protecting against the chronic inflammation, which may cause the danger? By reducing cell proliferation, is it protecting against a wide variety of cancers? So we just don't know yet.
What's to prevent people, since this is a commonly available drug by prescription, from people going out and finding it and taking it themselves now?
I hear rumors that there are people doing that, but I'm not. I mean, I'm 60. So I'll tell you why I don't do it. I'll put it in a personal way. I'm 67. I wish I was as healthy as I was when I was 40, just like all of us who are getting older. I don't take it for the following reason. I know rapamycin has strong biological effects. And when you have something with strong biological effects, they're both harmful and helpful. And in order to take it to do something like an anti-aging treatment, you have to make sure the balance of benefit is stronger than the deleterious effects. Since I don't know what the optimal dose would be, I don't know what the optimal schedule of doses would be, I don't know what kinds of markers to test to make sure it's helping me in anti-aging and make sure it's not hurting me in other ways, I fear the chances of doing harm is actually greater than the chances of doing good, so I'm not taking it, and I would advise that of other people as well.
David Harrison, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today, and good luck to you. We'll be following this research.
Thank you.
Dr. Harrison is professor at the Jackson Laboratory and Research Institution in Bar Harbor, Maine. We're going to take a short break. We're going to talk about food. David Kessler is here. He's going to talk about his new book. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.